And I'd like you guys to join me in welcoming our speaker tonight, Linda P. from Colorado Springs.
Hi, my name is Linda, and I'm an alcoholic. And I want to thank you for asking me to come out here and share with you. I don't know how your meetings are here, but this is really the first meeting that the big speaker meeting that I've been in since the pandemic has started. So it's quite an honor to be here. And I was not happy about Zoom when it started, but I was very grateful for Zoom as we got involved in it, but I'm even more grateful for the meetings back in person. Because there's just something very different about eyeball to eyeball with another alcoholic. Coming to the meetings, talking, interacting, hugging, seeing the smiles, feeling the energy that we just don't get on Zoom. And it's really good to be here. So thank you so much. It's a big honor. I want to thank my fiance for coming. And this is his first time to hear me in a meeting of AA in person. So he asked me earlier, how are you doing? I said, yeah, I'm very nervous for you to hear my stuff because he's only like kind of heard it on Zoom with one ear. And I'm like, gee, I hope he still loves me when it's all done. Oh, so let's see. As I stated, my name is Linda and I'm an alcoholic. I live in Colorado now. I moved there about 3 years ago, but I lived here in Southern California my whole life. I got sober here. I've ridden my motorcycle many times up the coast here. I've been to Lompoc Prison. I've been to California Men's Colony Prison to speak. And so when I left California, it was a huge change for me as far as my recovery goes. I didn't want to be one of those people who went somewhere else and said, you don't do it right. So I got involved in Alcoholics Anonymous there, and I did the things that you taught me here. I set up the chairs, I mopped the floors, I washed the coffee cups, and I was of service. And what happened for me is the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous was built up around me. And the meetings there are different. They run them different. They talk differently. They read different stuff. But it's still the language of the heart. And I got to start sponsoring women there. I became a member of those groups there. And Cameron and I went the other day and watched someone take a 3-year chip, and like what hit me is that like I belonged, like I was in those meetings, those people knew me. And I'll tell you, when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, nobody knew me. I wasn't interested in getting to know anyone. I didn't look like this. I didn't act like this. And I was a bad-ass biker chick. And that's how I wanted to stay. I did not want what you had. I didn't think I was an alcoholic. I liked my life the way it was. I was tough and rough, and I'm not talking to nobody. I'm not asking you for help. Please don't approach me. I'm liable to take a swing at you, then talk to you. And that's just who I came to Alcoholics Anonymous like. And I didn't have problems like you. Like, you guys are messed up. You are really messed up people. Like, if I made decisions that screwed up my life as bad as your life was screwed up, I might have to check myself into AA, but I had it together. Like, my life was looking good, or so I thought. Yeah. You hang around Alcoholics Anonymous, you catch alcoholism. I want to welcome those who are new. I want to tell you that Alcoholics Anonymous works no matter what. I can guarantee you, you can stay sober no matter what. And the reason why I say that is because I have direct experience. I have 24 years of sobriety. I will tell you that I didn't get sober and life got perfect. That is not my story. I got sober and my life fell apart. And then it continued to fall apart. Because the truth is that I had made such a mess of my life that it needed to fall apart in order for me to have a brand new life. And it took Alcoholics Anonymous and the people in Alcoholics Anonymous to teach me how to be different, because I was incredibly resistant. Well, I grew up in Canyon Country. I'm sure many of you know where that's at. And I lived on a cul-de-sac with seven teenage boys. I was the only girl of that little gang, and I liked it like that. Those boys did what I told them to, and they liked to drink and use, and I wasn't drinking and using, but I was the instigator of trouble. I taught those boys how to crawl out the window in the middle of the night, and we would go down the street to the concrete factory, and we'd climb up those the towers that were there, and they would drink and get high, and I'd watch them and laugh. And then we would sneak back home into our house, and usually our parents didn't catch us, but they, you know, boys, they're not always so smart, and sometimes they would get caught. Probably because they'd have to go in the kitchen and eat Rice Krispies or something. And they would get beat up, and then my father would yank me up out of bed, and he wanted to know why I wasn't keeping my brothers in line. And I'm like, I didn't know that was my job, and I'm not very good at it. And we'd all get a beating in that house. But my dad didn't know I was the instigator. He thought I was just sleeping in my bed the whole night. And my brothers didn't dare snitch on me, because then they'd have to answer to me, and they wouldn't do that. But I'll tell you that I was doing things I shouldn't be doing long before I had my drink. Alcoholics Anonymous has taught me that my problem is not just drinking, my problem is my thinking, and I have a very interesting thinker. Don't ask Cameron about it. Don't let him in on my secret. So I'm out there on that cul-de-sac, and I'm working a lot. I'm, you know, young, 12, 13, 14 years old. I would have told you that work was my first obsession. And the truth is, money was my first obsession. I love money. I like to multiply my money. I like to multiply it illegally because it multiplies faster. And I'm out there, I'm working at an attorney's office with my mom, and those boys that I run around with, they like to start taking out girls, and they're not hard workers. They just like to party all the time. And I decide this is a good business opportunity. And I go to one of those boys with a contract, and I say, I'll lend you $1,000 at 12.5% interest, and you can make me weekly payments. And he signed that dotted line, and by the end of the summer, I had three contracts out there. And I was rolling in the dough. And one of those boys came to me and he said, I'm sorry, but I lost my job and I can't pay back the terms of your contract. I don't renegotiate. And I promptly went down to the local high school and hired two football players and said, I want my money come Monday morning. I don't care what you have to do or say to these boys, but I want my money back. And Monday morning, my money was on my porch, and I didn't ask any questions, and nobody ever missed a payment after that, and that suited me just fine. and I haven't had a drink yet. Those are the decisions that I make in my life. And I wasn't taught those things by my parents. That's just who and what I am. 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous have proven to me that I am a liar, I'm a cheat, I'm a con, and I'm a thief. Now maybe you got sober and you got perfect, but that is not what happened to me. My character defects are still there, alive and well. If I'm not in the middle of Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm doing those character defects. My daughter will not interact with me with cash because she says, you have a weird relationship with money. And she's right. And, you know, we just keep working towards bettering ourselves. So I meet my first hostess. I don't know how to have relationships. I don't know how to date. I don't even know what that word means. I've been married a few times and never been on a date. But I meet my first hostage, and you know, I'm 16 years old. I haven't had a drink yet, and we go to a party, and I am a blackout drinker from the get-go. I don't understand people who go to nightclubs and drink. Yeah, that's not me. I like to go to corner biker bars. They're dark, they're smoky, and there's no competition. And I start my drinking screwdrivers. And I'm in a kitchen, and I'm mixing screwdrivers, and it's all vodka going in that glass and a little splash of orange juice. Now, nobody taught me to drink that way, but that's how I started my drinking. I'm about 15 minutes on this side of the line, and then I'm in a complete blackout. And if you're new to Alcoholics Anonymous and you don't know what a blackout is, that's when you wake up the next morning and you have no idea what happened the night before. And I'll tell you that I am not a pass-out blackout. I do a lot of life. And I'm glad that I don't remember most of the things I did, because what I do remember, I don't want to know the rest. And, you know, I went on to, I left home. I'll tell you that I went from a straight-A student to a high school dropout a year and a half after I had that drink. And that was not my plan. I didn't, like, wake up and say, oh, thanks, I got drunk, I'm going to stay drunk now. It just kind of happened that way. And I couldn't go to school anymore because my father was not real pleased about his daughter getting into all the trouble she was getting into. So he would start hunting me down. And so I left high school, and I moved in with that hostage of mine, and we lived with a local drug dealer, and I thought, I have arrived. Everything I want is in this house now. I want for nothing. Life is good. And violence is a big part of my story. One particular night, we got robbed. That drug dealer got shot 3 times. My hostage got shot once, and I remember I was sleeping at the time, and I heard a bunch of commotion, and I went back to the bathroom, and as I came around that bathroom door, that drug dealer is spurting blood out of 4 bullet holes. And, you know, I'm 17 and a half maybe, and I grab a t-shirt, and I wrap it around his arms, and I start thinking about, you know, my dad has filed a runaway report on me. I'm pretty sure the cops are going to come tonight, and I don't want to go to jail for drugs. So I holler off to my guy at the time, and I tell him to gather all the drug paraphernalia in the bedroom and throw it over the back fence. And he comes stumbling into that bathroom with blood pouring down the side of his face and a bullet sticking on his cheek. And again, I'm only about a year and a half into my drinking, but I am so incredibly selfish and self-centered, I could care less if those 2 boys bled to death. I'm sure they double-crossed somebody and they deserve to get shot, but I'm worried about me. And I turn to that man and I say, don't you worry about that bully. You go on back out there. You keep throwing that drug paraphernalia over that back fence. And that's how my drinking starts. And again, when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I didn't belong here. I was not like you people. My life, I had it together. Thank you very much. Now, fast forward, and I ended up having a kid with that man, and then I married him in that order, and I was a terrible wife. I couldn't stay faithful to that man no matter how many times he hit me. And, you know, we would separate and go back and separate and go back, and I'm not a very brave alcoholic, and I moved from Canyon Country to Van Nuys, and when I got to Van Nuys, I'm driving down the street, and I was separated from my husband at the time, and there he stood on a street corner. I don't know what his name is, but he is tall, dark, and handsome, and he will fix my life. And I pull over to that curb, and I put him in my car, and we proceed to my son's preschool. And as I go to get out of the car, the keys are hanging from the ignition, and I have a small moment of clarity. And I look at this man, and I look at those keys, and I think to myself, this is a bad idea. You don't even know this guy. But if you're an alcoholic like I'm an alcoholic, what comes on the heels of that thought is, what will he think of me? I don't even know this guy's name, and I'm already worried about what he will think of me. So I leave those keys in that ignition, and I proceed into that preschool, and I come out carrying that baby, and that man made the biggest mistake he had ever made up until that last time. He stayed in that car. And I'll tell you, you don't want to be taken hostage by me, because I will burn your life to the ground. And I proceeded to do just that. He liked to go to jail a lot, and he'd go to jail, and I'd go back to my husband. And then he'd get out of jail, and I'd leave my husband, or he'd throw me out, and we'd, you know, carry on and get drunk and just be stupid, and then he'd go back to jail again. And it is a progressive disease, and his disease progressed. And I picked him up one particular day, and I had gone back to my husband and had another kid, and she was now four, and I picked up this guy, and he was fresh out of jail, and I was in Sunland, Tahunga, and I remember, I can see the street corner like it was yesterday, and he's standing on that street corner with his thumb hanging out, and I'm driving past in my yellow Nova, and I think, what are the chances that he'd be standing on that street corner hitchhiking at the exact moment that I drove by? This is meant to be. So I put him in my car again, and we party for a while, and the weekend comes along, and I tell him, sweetheart, you got a drinking problem, and you got to go to AA. And Sunday, when we're done partying, I'm going to take you to an AA meeting and drop you off. And he thought, that's a good idea. I can do that. And my kids were visiting their dad for the weekend, so it was just him and I. And those hedges out that door remind me that we decided the hedges in front of my house needed to be cut. So we brought out a chainsaw, and we're cutting the hedges at midnight. Now, I don't know why my neighbors did not call the police, but we must have been doing that a lot in that house, and we cut those bushes down, and then Sunday night I did what I said I was going to do. I drove them to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I said, honey, you got to get your drinking under control. And I went home, my kids came home, I tucked them into bed, I got up the next morning and I went to work. And my telephone rang. And it was him, and he said to me, what are you doing? I said, I'm working, what are you doing? Now, I don't like my men to work, I like them to beat me up, I like them to be covered in tattoos. and I like them either going into prison or coming out of prison. And he fits that bill well, and he says to me, your four-year-old daughter's asleep on my chest. And I say to him, you're not supposed to be at my house when I'm not there. And he said, I know, but I needed a safe place to go. And I'll tell you, without any thought for the safety of those two children, because I'm so worried about what that man will think of me, I said to him, all right, you can hang out there for a few hours, and then you need to be on your way. And my next conversation with that man was 6 hours later, and he had just murdered two people and seriously maimed another. And now, as a direct result of my drinking career, I find myself involved in a murder trial. And that little boy of mine at 9 years of age testifies to the fact that that man had that murder weapon in our home that day. And I'll tell you that I was over 9 years sober before that move from here to here, and I realized how much danger that I had placed my children in. 9 years sober before my heart thawed out enough to realize what was I thinking. And that was a result of Alcoholics Anonymous teaching me how to be a human, because I didn't know how. And that man went off to prison for life, and I went off to life called prison. Because I've also been taught here in Alcoholics Anonymous that prison isn't only behind those bars. It could be what we make of it. And my life is little. And I don't know what I'm going to do now. Because my solution just went to prison for the rest of his life. And I'm in trouble. And I just kind of start asking around a little bit. And someone suggests, I think you should go back to school. I'm still a high school dropout, and they say, go to college and get a degree, and that'll fix your life. Now, I did not tell them that I was drinking at all, but I thought, that's a brilliant idea. And so I went to college in Sylmar, and I sat up in the front, and I didn't drink and use, because I'm not an alcoholic who knows how to go to school and drink. Like, that's just not me. And I turned in my homework, and I got straight A's, and at the end of that semester, I went to go get my certificate, and they said, oh, no, you have to keep coming back. Yeah, that's not going to happen. So I look across the room, and there he sits in the bad boy section, and I drag him home, and we set up house, and I will remind you, when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I wasn't like you. I didn't have the problems you had. My life was together. That little four-year-old of mine is 10. That little girl is attempting suicide. My son is 15 years of age, being arrested on a weekly basis. My stepson is 15, stealing cars, beating up on people. My 17-year-old stepdaughter is pregnant with twins. And that husband of mine, he's been barricaded in the bedroom for the last 2.5 months with the doors and the windows screwed shut with a loaded semi-automatic rifle. And I don't belong in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm not like you people. I don't have the problems that you have. And if I got as bad as you, I will check myself into Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, that level of denial for us to stay in our life is so intense. And on February 14th, 1998, 9 police cars were in front of my house. The bomb squad was there. The SWAT team was on its way. My husband went to jail that day, and I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't belong. I didn't relate. I heard all the differences. You guys talked about morning drinking. I've never drank in the morning, but by 9 a.m. I'd be in a blackout. I never drank and drove. I drank and drove in blackouts all the time. I like to take my glasses off when I drink and drive and close one eye, tip my head to the side because there's way too many lines, and I'll tell you, I can't see this podium without my glasses on, and I just never got caught. But I saw all the differences. So I hung out here for the next 8 months, and I drank, because I don't have a drinking problem. I can stop drinking anytime I want, but why would I want to? And I come to meetings, and I listen to your stories, and I think, oh man, you guys got problems. Well, I wasn't telling anybody anything about what was happening in my life. Because every once in a while, I'd say one or two sentences to someone, and your eyes would get so big around. And I would think, oh, you shouldn't have told them that. And I just learned to be quiet about everything. And then on September 8th, 1998, I raised my hand and admitted to my innermost self that I was an alcoholic. I didn't have a drinking problem. But I was tired of waking up with black eyes, and I thought, Alcoholics Anonymous will teach me how to pick a different man, and that will fix my problem. And 3 days later, I realized I had a drinking problem. And I thought, what am I supposed to do with this? Now, I had been hanging out in Alcoholics Anonymous for 8 months, so I knew about a sponsor. I got a sponsor right away. And I went to my sponsor and I said, look, I've watched all these people in Alcoholics Anonymous get their lives fixed. I'm an alcoholic. How do I fix my life? And my sponsor said to me, yeah, your life is too broken to fix. I just want you to come to meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous and set up the chairs and mop the floors and wash the coffee cups and find the newcomer in the room. And I thought, I have been cheated. Like, how is that going to fix my life? And my sponsor said, I promise if you just keep coming to Alcoholics Anonymous, your life will get better. And I thought, that's impossible. It absolutely cannot happen. I drive that little car. I think I got a new car by now. I'm putting a quart of oil in it every 3 days because it's in bad shape. My house is in foreclosure. My son is still being arrested every other day. My daughter is comatose on the couch. Like, how is going to meetings going to fix all that? But I don't know what else to do. So I come to meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. And when I was 30 days sober, I was faced with a very difficult decision. I went to my sponsor regarding my son. He's still tearing it up real bad. And my sponsor said, your son needs a lot more help than you can give to him. And the next time he's arrested, I want you to give up custody of him to the court. And I said to my sponsor, look, I am only 30 days sober. I can't stay sober through something like that. And my sponsor said, you could stay sober through anything. You didn't do those things I told you to do. And I don't know what else to do, so I do those things. And my journey with my son has been incredibly painful. From the age of 15 to 22, he lived homeless on the streets of Tahunga, living on flat rooftops, going to Kmart to clothe and feed himself. When he was 22 years old, he went into his first mental institution. And we've had a difficult, long journey. But also what has happened is he's taught me about unconditional love. He's taught me about suiting up and showing up and doing the right thing no matter what the cost is to me. He's taught me about complete unselfishness. And when I was about 12 years sober, he went into another mental institution for 9 months. And, you know, my son was really angry with me for a very, very long time for the damage I had done to him growing up. And I continue to make amends to him. And he continues to be angry with me. And one day I went to my sponsor and I said, what am I supposed to do? Like, I keep making amends. I'm 12 years sober. Or maybe at that time I was 10 years sober. And he won't let me off the hook. You know, if he would get sober and he would work a program, we could be okay. And my sponsor said, you have two choices. You either keep making amends to him or you put him out of your life. Well, I wasn't willing to do that, so I continued to make amends. And when I was 12 years sober, I went on a journey with my motorcycle and rode it from California to New York and back by myself, raising money for charity. And as I was planning that trip, I made flyers to raise money, and I was sharing that flyer with my son in that mental institution. And we were sitting at a long table, and he reached into his pocket, and he pulled out a crumpled $5 bill. And he said to me for the very first time, Mom, I'm very proud of you. And you give this $5 to your charity. And I knew at that moment that I had leveled the playing field. Now, things did not get better for my son, but things did get better for me. And I learned, because of Alcoholics Anonymous, how to love him for who he was. And he went on to continue to be homeless, and there were many times I'd go to the park, and I'd bring him a bottle of water and a burger, and I'd sit on the grass with him, and we would just talk nonsense and laugh and carry on. And then I would hug him, and I would say, I have to go. And I would get in my car, and I'd drive down the street, and I'd stop that car, and I'd put my head against that steering wheel, and I would bawl my eyes out. But I never said to him, you need to get sober. You need to change your life. Because the people here in Alcoholics Anonymous told me, you give your son the dignity to allow him to make the choices in his life. And that's what I did. And I got to about 15, 16 years sober, and my son started attempting some serious suicide things, and you know, I just went to my sponsor and I said, we have to try something different. Like, I've been doing this with my kids like this for 15 years. And I'm going to go get them off the streets and I'm going to put them in a little apartment. And maybe if I give him some stability, he could get better. And I put him in that apartment and he got worse. And one day I went to that apartment and he locked him and I inside that apartment and pulled out a shotgun and repeatedly pointed it at him and I. And then my son shot himself. And there proceeded a six-hour standoff with the SWAT team. And I'll tell you that my son finally surrendered and went to the hospital. He had six plates in his face. And you know, sometimes in Alcoholics Anonymous, we say there are no big deals. Well, I think that's a big deal. And I think that's worth drinking over. So I call my sponsor. I don't know why. I guess to tell her, thanks for everything. Now I'm going to go drink. My feelings are coming out of my pores. My solution is go down to the local hardware store, buy a roll of duct tape, wrap myself up in it just to hold my feelings on the inside, and go and get drunk. And my sponsor said, I want you to go to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. I said, have you lost your mind? Alcoholics Anonymous can't deal with this. I have not heard anybody go through this. And she said to me, I promise if you go to AA and set up the chairs and mop the floors and wash the coffee cup and find the newcomer in the room, you will stay sober. And I was like, that ain't happening. It's impossible. Like, this is way too much. But I don't know what to do. So I go to meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm out in San Bernardino. I don't know anybody out there. And I go to those meetings and I sit in the back and I cry and cry and cry. And people didn't come up to me because I have a full-blown panic attack and they just kind of left me alone. And it was about 4.5 months later and I got sick of me. And I went and found a newcomer in that room and I told my sponsor, I said, you know, there's not a newcomer out there that's got problems that I got going on. And my sponsor said, you're not allowed to talk about your problems. All you're allowed to do is ask her about hers. And I was like, this is not going to work. But I go to that meeting and I find that newcomer and she tells me some dumb stuff about her sober living or something. I don't know. I didn't listen to her. I just pretended to listen to her. And then I went home. And the next week I came back and that newcomer found me and she told me some more problems that were going on in her life. And I'm thinking to myself the whole time, like, dude, like if you just knew a fraction of what I was going through. But again, my sponsor said I wasn't allowed to talk about that. But I remember one thing that she said to me, and then I went home. And the third week I came back, and that newcomer come up and talked to me, and I asked her about that one thing that I remember. And that girl's eyes lit up. She was so excited that I remembered what she said to her. I mean, what she said to me. And I'll tell you right then and there, the magic of Alcoholics Anonymous happened. Because what I've learned is when I'm thinking about you, I can't be thinking about me. And all my problems disappear. And all I could listen to was what was going on with her. And she told me a whole litany of things and I paid attention and then I went home. And the fourth week I came back skipping into that meeting looking for that newcomer because what I knew is in those moments that I was listening to her, I wasn't thinking about me. Now nothing had changed in my life. My kids still struggling. I don't know what to do. My sponsor found me a woman in Georgia and a man in New York who talked to me almost every day for 9 months, helping me with that situation with my son. But in those moments that I was listening to that newcomer, I felt peace. And I was proven, without a shadow of a doubt, that Alcoholics Anonymous works if I'm doing the work. And my son, things didn't get better. He went on to 4 or 5 more suicide attempts. And one day my sponsor came to me and she said, it's not safe for you to stay here anymore. And I thought, but my community is here. Like, I got sober here. I've been on my job for 19 years. I own a home. And my sponsor said, all those things won't matter if you're not alive anymore. And I went and I resigned that job. And I sold that house. And I left the country. And before I left, I said to my sponsor, like, I am 19 years sober. Like, why is this happening to me? And my sponsor said, it's not happening to you. It's happening to your son. You just happen to be in the way. And I asked her, what am I supposed to do? And she said, wherever you're at, there's Alcoholics Anonymous. And you go to meetings no matter where you're at. And I flew overseas and I went to meetings and many times I didn't understand the language or I didn't understand the accent. But what I did is I walked in those meetings and I set up the chairs and I mopped the floors and I washed the coffee cup and I found the newcomer in the room. And what I heard there was the same thing I heard here. Those newcomers would look at me and they would say, if you can stay sober through that, I can stay sober through anything. And I got better. Then a little bit, less than a year later, I had a stroke. I was out in Hemet, and my daughter flew out there and got me and dragged me to Colorado. And I was like, this is a bad. Like I told my daughter, I fly into Colorado, we have fun for the weekend, then I go back to L.A. Like, if I have to be with her and live around her, she's going to find out how broken I am. She's going to throw me away. So like I said in the beginning, I got involved in Alcoholics Anonymous there. And my daughter realized that there's something slightly wrong with her mother. And what Alcoholics Anonymous has taught me is, my daughter calls me and she's like, I am so pissed off at you. And I say, I would be pissed off at me too. I was a terrible mom to you and your brother. And I'm so sorry for the things I have done. And if there's anything I can do to make it better, I will. And she hangs up and calls me back a half hour later. And she's like, it is so hard to stay mad at you. Because you are so willing to take responsibility. But the truth is, that's Alcoholics Anonymous training. Because what's going on in my mind is, dude, I am 24 years sober. I have made amends to you for 24 years. Get over it. But you have taught me not to do that. And because of that, we can have a better understanding. She's still very upset with me now and keeps me at arm's length. And what Alcoholics Anonymous has taught me to do is just keep showing up and being a good mom. Now, I'll tell you that when I was a year and a half sober, she left and went to go live with her dad. And I remember going to my sponsor and saying, you know, he's an alcoholic. And she said to me, can you prove in a court of law that he's a worse father than you? No. She said, then you have to let her go. And I was mad. But what happened is, for the very first time, I found myself alone. No husband, no child, nothing to hide behind. And I just immersed myself in Alcoholics Anonymous. And she went out to Paris, California, and she got a stepmom out there, and that stepmom was a mom to her that I couldn't be. She got her involved in all these sports, and, you know, they had a good, stable life. I don't know how to create that. I still struggle with that. Cameron will be like, you're so undisciplined. And he's right. Even at 24 years of sobriety, my poor dogs are just running out of control like my kids used to. And I just find discipline challenging, but I keep trying. And I don't remember what I was saying now. Oh, my daughter. So when she was 15, her dad died drinking and driving. And so she was going to come back to live with me. And I came to my sponsor and I'm like, I don't want her to come back. Like, I don't know how to be a mom of a teenager. Like, I've already screwed up three kids. And my sponsor said to me, I've watched you sponsor women. You're a good sponsor. Why don't you just sponsor your daughter? And I thought, oh, I could do that. I don't know how to be a mom, but I could be a sponsor. And so that's what I did. You know, if my daughter asked me for help, I would help her. And if she didn't ask me for help, I kept my mouth shut. She was 16. She got there somehow without my help. And, you know, we managed. And then she was going to graduate from high school. And I'm a high school dropout. Like, I don't know nothing about graduation. So I come back to the women here in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I say, she's graduating from high school. What do? And you told me about prom dresses and getting her nails and her hair done and limousines and announcements. And I thought, this is so stupid. But you told me to try, so I did. And she graduated from high school. And then she came to me and she said, Mama, I want to go to college. No. You are lucky you graduated from high school. We are all high school dropouts. College is not in the cards. And she said, Mama, let's go to one of those Alcoholics Anonymous meetings and ask those people how to go to college. So that's what we did. And you told her she could do anything she wanted. And we filled out all these applications and submitted them. And I would go home and I would say, look, it is not meant for you to go to college. So don't get your hopes up. But those dumb people at Alcoholics Anonymous said we have to do the footwork. So we're doing the footwork. But I know you will not be accepted because your mind don't have the things that people need for you to go to college. And she got accepted in this little private university in Colorado, and she went off to college there, and she graduated with all these degrees, and I don't know what they mean. I'm still a high school dropout, and but they seem to make her happy. And she met her husband out there, and he's just sweet and kind and good to her. And one day I asked her, how is it possible for you to pick a man like this? And she said to me, well, Mama, you taught me. And I thought, well, unless you're picking the exact opposite of what I'm choosing, I don't know how that's possible. And she said to me, I listened to the things you told those women that you sponsor. And when I went off to college, I practiced those things. And what I learned is that Alcoholics Anonymous, not only did you heal me and those women that I sponsor, but you healed my little girl. And she didn't have to come to Alcoholics Anonymous to be healed. And that's a miracle. And they just celebrated 6 years of marriage. They've been together for 9 years. Like, I think that's astronomical. Like, how does that happen? Oh, you know, I was really broken in that area. I remember when I was a few years sober and the women were like, you got to learn to date, Linda. Like, what is that? Like, no. You see them, you know, and then you move in. And then a few weeks later, you decide, I don't like you, but I don't know what to do with you now. And they said, no, that's not what happened. He'll call you and take you out on a date, and then he'll bring you home, and then he will go home all on the same day. Yes. So I went on my very first date against my better judgment, and we go to a movie theater, and we go to get out of the vehicle, and he says to me, I would appreciate it if you would wait for me to come around and open your car door. I ride a Harley. I know how to open my own car door. Thank you very much. But I don't think that it would be a good idea to go back and tell my sponsor I went into 50 cups with this guy on my first date. So I waited for him to open my car door. And it took a long time. So I get home, he drops me off, he walks me to the door, he gives me a peck on the cheek, he goes skipping down the driveway. I had so much fun, I'm going to call you tomorrow. Yeah, no. Please lose my number. And then I call my sponsor. And I'm like, yeah, this was a total disaster. I don't want a date. Thank you very much. And she said, what happened? So I told her. Like, we got to the movie theater, and he asked for me to wait to open my car door. And she asked me, well, what's wrong with that? So I told her. I ride a Harley. I don't need my car door open. And she says to me, well, what I do while I'm waiting is I put on some lipstick. And I said, well, I don't wear lipstick. And she said, try it. It'll grow on you. And that is what I've learned here in Alcoholics Anonymous, that you try it long enough, it will grow on you. Now, Cameron will tell you when he met me for the very first time, we're driving in the car, and he gets out of the car and goes walking into the restaurant, and he turns to say something to me, and I'm not there. And he looks back at the car, and I'm still sitting in the seat. And he comes back, he says, what are you doing? And I said, waiting for you to open my car door. And there's Alcoholics Anonymous for you. I went from, not going to happen, to, I will sit here for an hour until you come back and fetch me. You know, I had to do a lot of work here. I had to work a lot of steps. I had to make a lot of amends. I had to pay back a lot of money. And, you know, I, when I was, I don't know, maybe 15 years sober, my dad got sick with terminal cancer. And I didn't have the best relationship with my dad, but Alcoholics Anonymous taught me how to just be a good daughter. And so I did the best that he could do, and then I got the opportunity to go to Vegas and take care of him. And it was hard. He was not happy about his snot-nosed little girl having to come and take care of him. And I went to Alcoholics Anonymous there. And I set up the chairs, and I mopped the floors, and I washed the coffee cup, and I found the newcomer in the room. And what happened is that I made a decision that I was just going to love my dad like we love the newcomer. And so that's what I did. And what started to happen is my dad started to change. And on the last day of my dad's life, he gave me a hug like a father gives a newborn baby. And my father passed away. And the next day I realized that I had done what I set out to do. That I had shown my dad unconditional love. But the bigger gift that I got is that for the very first time I realized that my dad loved me. And that's the gift of Alcoholics Anonymous. Because you taught me to suit up and show up in spite of my thoughts and feelings and the actions of others. I have a completely different life today. I'll tell you that when I met Cameron, I had decided, okay, I'll be single. Because I had worked on me. I had changed me. And that's what my sponsors have said for me to do. You want something different? You be different. And that's hard work. But it always pays off. And one of the things that Cameron said to me in the beginning of our relationship is, one of the things that impresses me so much about you, Linda, is you take full responsibility for your actions. And I don't see that very often. And that's a result of Alcoholics Anonymous, that you've taught me that. Because I've already told you how I think. But you've taught me it doesn't matter what I think, what matters are my actions. and I've learned here to take good actions. I'm grateful for that. Alcoholics Anonymous has made me into the very thing I have never, ever wanted to be, a lady. Thank you.
Wow. How about one more round of applause?